Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 3, Nature and Forms of Conflict, Intrastate, Interstate and Global. And we are continuing interstate conflict. The topic of discussion is other philosophies of war. An Atal reporter, the editor of one of the English edition of Glassbridge book, classifies the philosophies of war into three categories. First one is the eschatological philosophies of war. This theory is based on the idea that history in many cases will culminate in a final war, signaling the unfolding of a hidden grand design, divine, natural or human. Examples of this view are the Crusades and Holy Wars, which were waged as means of unifying some portions of the world under a single faith or single ruler. In modern times, the American doctrine of manifest destiny, propounded during the late 19th century, and the Nazi doctrine of the master race represent two different types of belief in messianic missions. The next one is the catasymic view. This theory views war as a catastrophe that befalls some portion or the entire human race. No one in particular is held to be responsible for war, and no one in particular is expected to benefit from it. Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace depicts war in this manner. Tolstoy attributes war to the action of unknown historical forces and holds actions of kings and strategies of military commanders to be quite irrelevant to either the outbreaks or the outcomes of war. The next is the political philosophy of war. Glassbridge is the outstanding proponent of political philosophy of war. It is called political because it considers the institution of war as an instrument of national or state policy. In the idealized view of this, war ought to be rational, that is, based on estimated cost and gains. It ought to be instrumental in that it should be waged to achieve a definite goal, never for its own sake. And finally, it ought to be national in the sense that its objective should be to advance the interest of the national state. Machiavelli, the 15th century thinker, had advanced a similar theory, but Clausewitz's restatement is significant because it synchronized with industrialization of society and warfare, with the development of new weapons, recruiting mass armies, and adoption of new strategies of waging war. The eschatological and catasymic theories, philosophies about war in terms of either divine or historical causes. Glassbridge's theory finally traces war to be intention and will of nations. It can be seen that his theory is in consonance with the manifest causes of war, because one cannot rationally establish the operation of intangible and divinely imposed reason for war. Clausewitz himself provides the explanation why idealized total war can not always be a reality. However, even small-scale wars can be explained in terms of Clausewitz theory. While the greatest claim of Clausewitz theory is to reflect reality based on the notion of the sovereign will of the nation or state, that notion of sovereignty of the state has itself been challenged over the last century and a half. The slow erosion of the right of the state to do whatever it pleases has been compromised first in the area of conduct of war itself and later in many other spheres of international conduct. Both the League of Nations and later the UN imposed severe limits on the state's right to go to war. As we shall see later, the rise of global civil society movement has further contributed to limiting states' actions in the arenas of conflict and peace. Many rights have therefore been modified by Clausewitz's philosophy of war in the light of changing nature of international relations. The next point is the doctrine of just war. Despite the general revolution of for war, the institution of war survived unabated. Even the pacifist orientations of religious discourse could not deter society from going to war against each other. One of the important developments of the compromise between the religions, aversion to war, and the compulsions of states to resort to wars is the origin of the doctrine of just war. This doctrine is particularly associated with the Christianity, though other religion traditions also recognize the concept of just war. The ancient Indian idea of dharma, yudh, is an example. It is necessary to advert to the just war doctrine briefly as it developed in the West. Just war doctrines abundant during the Middle Ages in Europe as a dimension of canon law or church established law. They resulted from the attempts to accommodate the pacifism of Christian teaching with the spread of Christian domination of Europe and beyond. As the church had gained space in the secular realm, justification for organized war was thus integrated into the realm of human activity. In his reputed treatise on just and unjust war, Michael Watts treats the subject of just wars more in the context of a state resisting aggression than that of the state initiating aggression. Wasser encapsulates the theory of aggression in six propositions that constitute the core of just war. They are: there exists an international society of independent states. This international society has a law that establishes the rights of its members, above all the rights of territorial integrity and political sovereignty. any use of force or imminent threat of force by one state against the territorial integrity or political sovereignty of another constitutes aggression and a criminal act. Aggression justifies two kinds of violent response: a war of self-defense by the victim and a war of enforcement by the victim and any other member of international society. Nothing but aggression can justify war. Once the aggression has been militarily repulsed, it can also be punished. From the above, it is clear that in an international society of independent states, the right of sovereignty and territorial integrity is inviolable. Propositions define aggression, which alone justifies a victim resorting to war. The crucial aspect of the exposition of just war is that it is conceived as defensive war, and nothing is mentioned about when an initiation of a war can be regarded as just. Presumably, it is never is. Thus, preemptive war's logic is ruled out. However, it is necessary to recall the simple truth that war is a two-way process, and the party that retaliates as well as the one that initiates almost always justify their actions on some legitimizing facts, and the latter's justifications are not unalloyed with preemptive logic. Ancient Indian yatra for expansion of territory by a powerful monarch were not always regarded as unjust. Sun Tzu, the ancient Chinese writer on war, is most reticent about discussing the justness or unjustness of war. Perhaps the most telling example was that of the conduct of Athens at the height of its power and glory during the Peloponnesian War in the 5th century BC. The chief antagonists were Athens and Sparta. Athens proudly called itself the school of Hellas, or teacher of Greece, but yet committed aggression against the tiny neighboring city state of Melos, which, though a colony of Sparta, chose to remain neutral in that war. The Athenian leaders unabashedly told the Melinians that Athens had the right to subdue innocent Melos because of the exigencies of war that might make right, and that a nation concerned with defending its interests should not take into account moral considerations. Athens subdues Melos and put to death all its able-bodied males and taking all its women and children into slavery. The Greek historian Thucydides analyzed the Athenian conduct as establishing a new way of looking at politics, though he regarded it as an lean to Greek temper and ethos. A modern historian of Greece regarded the Melinian episode as showing that the principle of force forms a realm of its own with laws of its own, distinct and separate from the laws of moral life that govern individual human conduct. Even though the coming of a Christian era brought scruples like the just war doctrine, soon these scruples vanished as the church leaders and the European emperors themselves resorted to wars against each other. Just war doctrines became exercises in sophistry. Then, as the Middle Ages waned and the Renaissance dawned, thinkers like Machiavelli boldly separated the spheres of individual morality and morality of the states. This practically ended any pretense of testing wars on the just war touchstone. Even though the idea of avoiding war among states reoccurs often, the attention was diverted to other methods than on referring to the just war doctrine. Here we want to wind up this lecture. Thank you so much for your attention.